Good morning. He is risen. Hallelujah. I am so thankful that all of you chose to worship here this morning at Pioneer Christian Fellowship on this Resurrection Sunday. If you are here as a guest with us this morning, thank you for choosing this house of worship to worship at. We know you have a large selection out there, but thank you for joining with us. And I just want to say, in the event that you weren't aware of this, we'll be back here next Sunday celebrating the resurrection again. That's why we're here on Sundays, the first day of the week. We're offering to him our lives at the beginning of the week, every week, and saying, God, we're here to worship you because you're alive. And because you are alive, we can be alive. Well, over the last number of weeks, we've been doing a series here at the church called The Cross. And every week I've had a different title for what I felt led to share with you. And this week is no different. I'm calling what I want to share with you today, God values the cross, but he favors the resurrection. God values the cross, but he favors the resurrection. I want to begin by taking you to a verse from Romans chapter 8. In Romans chapter 8, Paul said these words simply, "It is Christ who died, and furthermore is also risen." Maybe we could say that together this morning. One, two, three. It is Christ who died, and furthermore is also risen. The original word in the Greek for furthermore means even better than that, or to be desired even more than that. So right here in this short verse, God is telling us, while I value the cross, I prefer the resurrection. Somebody say amen. Amen. You'll see why that's good news in just a moment. In fact, if you were to take the definition of that Greek word and kind of retool that verse, you could say it like this: Christ died, but even better than that, he is also risen. Even better than that. His crucifixion was immensely important and valuable, but his resurrection is even better. Paul also in Romans chapter 1 verse 4 tells us this: Jesus Christ was declared with power to be the Son of God by his resurrection from the dead. Again, to draw out a word in this verse, the word declared literally means to mark out. If you have ever read a good book, a book that you're benefiting from as you read it, you know that many of the things that you're reading are important in terms of what you may be interested in that you're reading. But then there are certain things that you may read in a good book that you feel the need to underline or highlight. Anybody ever do that before? Okay, yeah. So even people do it with the Bible. They underline a verse or a section of scripture that speaks pertinently to their hearts. What God is saying right here in this verse, by saying he was declared to be the Son of God by the resurrection from the dead, God wants us to know, the Father wants us to know, that one of the things the resurrection was about was God getting out his highlighter and circling his Son, pointing arrows to him and saying, just in case you were in doubt, this is my Son, alive forevermore. He underlined it. He highlighted it. And what he was declaring in that moment was, this is my Son. The resurrection left no doubt about the true identity of Jesus. You know, as he went about doing his earthly ministry, some were saying he was this, others were saying he was that. Even at the moment on the cross, they were questioning his identity. But at the resurrection, Jesus said, just in case you missed what he was saying to you along the way, I am going to bring him back from the dead, and in doing so, I am declaring to you, all the doubts should be removed, this is my son. This is my son. While Paul was preaching in Poseidon, Antioch, in Acts chapter 13, verses 32 and 33, we read this. I have it for you on the screen. We tell you the good news. What Jesus promised our fathers, he has fulfilled for us. He delivered on his promise. What God promised our fathers, he has fulfilled for us, their children, by raising up Jesus. As it is written in the second Psalm, you are my son. Today I have become your father. Resurrection was a statement by the Father that the Father, through the resurrection of Jesus, was using a megaphone to announce to the universe that Jesus Christ is his son. Resurrection is about identity. Jesus never found his identity in the cross. He never said, I am the crucifixion and the death. Rather, he said, I am the resurrection and the life. Now, you may be asking right now, why is this important? Why is what I'm telling you right now important? It's important because in this life, you and I have crosses to bear. We do. We have difficult experiences that we have to go through, and it's just life. But these crosses that we bear are valuable to us. I know you don't want to believe that. I know none of us want to go through them. But these crosses that we bear can be of value to us. Because God uses those cross-like experiences to refine us. He uses those cross-like experiences to develop character in us, to deepen our intimacy with him, and to strengthen our faith through a greater understanding of his word. So the crosses that we carry, that we bear in life, have value to us. God wastes nothing. He wants to use everything that we deal with in life to accomplish something in us. Trials have a way of shaking us. And sometimes that even involves our identity. Remember on the cross, I just said to you a moment, as Jesus was hanging on his cross, he said, they were saying to him, if you are truly the Son of God, get down out of there. Get off that cross. They did not know that what Jesus was accomplishing on the cross had great value for them. But they question his identity. When you and I are going through cross-type experiences, when we're under the weight of these things, there will be voices that will try to get us to question our identity in Christ. That's just how this thing works. But I want to remind you this morning that while God values the cross, meaning that God doesn't waste anything that we go through, he prefers or favors resurrection. None of us need to wonder, does God want me raised up? You don't have to wonder about that. When you're dealing with your pit, you don't have to wonder whether God wants you raised up. Because while he values what you can glean from that cross-like moment, he prefers you being resurrected. That is God's heart. He prefers resurrection. God wants you resurrected. He wants you to know and experience the resurrected life. There is this symbiotic relationship between the crucifixion and the resurrection. One cannot stand alone apart from the other. Paul said as much in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 17. If Christ is not risen, then your faith is a delusion and you are still lost in your sins. And remember, he's looking at it from the vantage point of Christ has died for us. But now Paul says, if he is not risen, then your faith is a delusion. You can put your faith in the cross, but if he has not risen, your faith is a delusion and you are still lost in your sins. Jesus labored mightily on the cross to pay the price for us. To pay the price for the forgiveness of our sin, for the healing of our person, and for the eternal promise that we can be with him forever in heaven. When Jesus said, "It is finished," he was declaring that the price that had been paid, that the price was paid in full for all of the things I just mentioned. However, if death was able to hold him and Jesus had not risen from the dead, then nothing that was paid for on the cross would have reached us. Let me illustrate what I'm trying to tell you. I don't know if you've ever had this experience. I just had it recently where I ordered something online. Now, when you order, it's not that bad. In fact, you don't even have to leave home. That's a nice part about it. Right from my couch, right? So I ordered something online, and I paid for it. They make you get out these plastic things, punch in the number, several numbers, and I paid for that which I purchased. It's all bought and paid for, but it never arrived at my home. So what I bought and paid for was of no value to me because I did not have it. I finally said to Jody one day, I said, I know I ordered it. When did I order it? We looked it up online. It had been 3 weeks. I think this was during COVID. It had been 3 weeks. So I finally called the place up and I said, "Hey, listen, I ordered this," and they were able to go back and look in their, you know, history of things. They said, "Sure enough, it's right there." You know what they said to me? They said, "We'll send you another one." I said, "Well, what about the one that supposedly is somewhere that I don't have yet?" They said, "If it shows up, just keep it. Don't worry about it." Right? It never showed up. No, the second one showed up. And it showed up in 2 days. Right? So what I had bought and paid for, this is what I'm trying to tell you this morning. What I had bought and paid for, just like Jesus bought and paid for what you and I, the debt that we owed, right? He bought and paid for it on the cross, but it was the resurrection that delivered that thing to you and me. If it had not been for the resurrection, we would still be in our sins. The resurrection. Bought and paid for. Let me give you another illustration. Let's suppose for a moment you are building a home. And as you decide you're not going to go Amish, and so you say, "You know what? I want a little bit of electricity in my house," right? So you contact your local electric authorities and say, "Hey, listen, I'm building a home. Is there any way you could provide me some electric," right? And so they say, "Sure, we'll be happy to provide you electric. Here's how much it's going to cost you," right? So you pay the fee. You write the check and you say, I would like electric in my home, so here's my money. It's bought and paid for. And they even come out and they hook something up on this pole. They bring it down the pole. They run it. They put it in your house, and it's in a panel now. Somebody ask you to say, you know, do you have electric in your house? You said, yes, I have electric. It's bought and paid for. But if you never run the wires and put a switch or an outlet in, you can go around talking about all that electric you got, but it's of no value to you. It means nothing. You got a pole in your front yard. Yahoo! Good for you. We all know you got electric. That's nice, but it has no meaningful use unless you put in an outlet. When Jesus Christ died on the cross, every ounce of power that you and I need got paid for on the cross. But it was his resurrection that delivered it to you so that that power is meaningful and useful. Did it all so that we could have access to that which he paid for. Over the course of the last couple years, we have heard the word essential more than I ever care to hear that word again in my life. I don't care. If nobody uses the word essential everywhere, that'd be fine with me, right? This was essential. That wasn't essential. It's essential. All I can tell you this morning is the resurrection was essential. If there ever was a thing that was essential, it's the resurrection. The cross and the resurrection, they're intrinsically inseparable. They go together. One without the other is only half the story. It only solves part of the problem. When Jesus rose from the dead, all the lights came on. All the lights. All of the power that the cross had made available is now useful to us. The cross purchased it. The resurrection delivered it. Without resurrection, the cross would have been like a dud bomb that never detonated. But together, what God did was like a nuclear explosion for all eternity. Now, I ask you again this question. Why is that important? It's important because while we may be experiencing these cross-like experiences, they are never meant to be the last word. I'm going to say that again. I'll personalize it for you. When you are going through a difficult thing, a cross-like experience, that is never meant to be the last word. God has not arranged things that way. That's not how he has put this thing together. Like Christ, all of our stories are meant to end with resurrection. Paul said it again in 1 Corinthians 15. He likened or he talked about the resurrection of Jesus in this way. He said, it's a first fruit resurrection. First fruit. What we're celebrating today was a first fruit resurrection. What's that mean? The idea of first fruit means is that it is not a one and done type of thing. It's not a one and done kind of resurrection, but that it is the first of many subsequent resurrections. Thank you, Dave. Appreciate it. Had to bring a pastor in to say something. The death and resurrection of Christ was not a one-time of one kind, one of a kind event. He was raised from the dead so that you and I can be raised from the dead. Romans 8:11 says this, it stands to reason, doesn't it, that if the alive and present God who raised Jesus from the dead moves into your life, he'll do the same thing in you that he did in Jesus, bringing you alive to himself. When God lives and breathes in you, and he does as surely as Jesus did, you are delivered from the dead life. With the Spirit living in you, your body will be as alive as Christ. God values the cross, but he prefers resurrection. God wants to raise us up. It is the good news and the pattern of the Bible. There were women in the Old Testament who could not give birth to children. They were barren. Their wombs were, some of them, it said, their wombs were as good as dead. God got involved in their situation. And what did he do? He brought resurrection life to bear in their situation. Many of you have heard of a guy by the name of Job. We all know Job's story. Sadly, the part about the story that we know most is his cross-like experience. All that he went through. But how did God end that story? How did that story end? We never talked much about the end of Job's story. The end of Job's story was everything, every cross thing he went through, God said, that's not the end of the story. He said, I'm going to give you resurrection. I'm going to give you more than you had before. It's the pattern of Scripture. There was a guy by the name of Joseph. You may have read about him. He had some brothers that didn't like him, and they decided to try to take him out. But God wasn't taking him out. So they put him down in a well and made life miserable. I think if you go back and read that story, I think we can all agree it was a cross-like experience. He was left for dead. Brothers thought he was dead. The story goes on. There was some blood involved and whatnot. Everybody thought Joseph is dead. The dad wept and mourned because he thought his son was dead. But that's not how God operates. That's not how the story ends. God arranged things so that Joseph went from looking like he was dead to he ended up becoming the second most potent, powerful man of the time. Because God has a pattern of, yes, there is value in the cross-like experiences, but that's not the end of the story. Your cross experience is not the end of your story. Because the end of the story, God brings resurrection. That's what we're celebrating today. I could tell you countless examples in Scripture. Moses, David, Abraham, Peter, Paul, all of them have cross-like experiences, right? But that wasn't the end of their story. The end of their story is that God always breathes resurrection life and brings people back to life again. I tell you that because now it's our turn. I tell you these stories from days gone by, but that doesn't mean God's changed his pattern. You may be here this morning and you can think, well, yeah, that's fine for those people. What I'm saying to us this morning is, it's God's pattern for you. I hear this phrase. People talk about things going viral. Viral. I always thought that viral had to do with a disease. So I find it difficult to put things together sometimes. And so I hear things, something went viral. Now, I'm going to tell you, I wrote it down so that I didn't make a mistake here. And I wrote this down. From what I understand, you can correct me if this is wrong, but if something goes viral, it means that someone says something or does something that ends up on social media, and enough people go and look at that or view that, and when you get into a certain amount of people who've gone and looked at that and viewed that, they call that viral. Is that right? Did I get it right? Views, the number of people who checked in and looked at, you know, Pastor Josh and Scott and I doing interpretive dance, something like that. It goes viral, right? Goes viral. Look at those fat guys up there. Not Scott. Look at those fat guys up there and... Tomorrow. It's always tomorrow. It's always tomorrow. Listen, think about this for just a second. I think, again, we're all aware that Christ was on the world's radar during his earthly ministry. You know, I think a lot of people think, like, you know, Jesus went around, did what he did, and the only people who knew about it were a few people who showed up enough to be interested in what he's doing. That's not what it was. Jesus was on the radar of the Roman world. He was certainly on the radar of the Jewish world. They all knew what was going on, and that people were starting to flock to him as a leader, and some of them got jealous, some of them got threatened by all that, and we had last Good Friday. That's why we had, from that vantage point, that's why we had last Good Friday. They were trying to take him out because he was being too much of an influence, right? So, but I think it would be safe for me to say today that if Jesus would have been raised from the dead in this day of social media, I think I'm safe to say here this morning that news of that would end up going viral. I think that would, it would at least make a paper, right? I think it would probably end up going viral. If his story would have ended on Friday, maybe not so much. Maybe not so much. But the fact that 3 days later, we can't find the dude, that's going viral. That story will go viral. I say that because God wants your story. God wants my story of resurrection life to go viral. To the people and the community around you, if that same spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you, if you were once dead, but now you are alive again, that story is meant to go viral. He did the cross, Christ did the cross to show us, to teach us, to give us some insight into how we do our crosses. I'm not saying our crosses are the same as his crosses, but there's something in how he handled his cross experience that speaks to us of how we should handle our cross-like experiences. Like, if you were here Friday night, I talked about the words of Christ
There is something in what Jesus said that should speak to us about how we handle our moments of difficulty. The cross, his cross, shows us how to do our cross. But he resurrected to show us that we're to be resurrected. Not just at the end, but to know and walk in the resurrection life now. To say to yourself, to say to myself, that while I'm in the midst of the cross moment, I know there's resurrection coming. We need to believe in the power of the resurrected life. Jesus isn't interested in us just being able to cope with our crosses so that we can expire at some point with a good attitude. He wants us to embrace his promises and hold out for resurrection. According to what Jesus pointed to in Luke chapter 20, verses 36, if you're here this morning and you have put your faith in his atoning work of the cross, and you believe that he is, you have embraced that declaration that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, then according to what Jesus said in Luke chapter 20, verses 36, you are called now a child of the resurrection. That is your identity. You have been given, you have been slipped resurrection in your spiritual DNA. With that knowledge and with that understanding, we should live our lives. That means Monday through Saturday, and after 12 o'clock on Sunday, we should live our lives with an unwavering confidence that God will fulfill his promises. And that even though you and I might be going through a hard moment, I can still believe the promises of God, and God's promises always lead to resurrection. Always. Always lead to resurrection. Always. Embrace his promises and hold out for resurrection. I'm going to invite the worship team to come back to the platform. Today, as we remember Christ's resurrection, it announces to us, God has gotten out his megaphone to declare to us yet again, this is my son. But beyond that, he announces to us that Christ's resurrection isn't the finale. His resurrection wasn't just this one-time thing that we keep going back and remembering. No, his resurrection was not the great finale, but I'd suggest to you this morning, it was the great conception. It was the moment in history and in time when God made resurrection life available to anyone and everyone. And I'm saying to you, I said it to you once, all right? I'll say it to you again. Not just when your body dies. When we talk about resurrection life, we're talking about the Spirit of God being working within us in such a way that instead of me going around like Linus, you know, Linus on Peanuts, like a little pig pen thing going on everywhere I go. No. We realize that God will work through those things to do something in our lives. But while we're going through those things, we're holding on to his word, and we're saying, God, I know this isn't what I signed up for, but I know you can use it to work something in me But I'm telling you, Lord, I know you're the God of resurrection. I'm holding on to you, your word, and the hope that resurrection is soon to come for me. Regardless of what you're going through, regardless of where you're at today, try your best to understand, Lord, what are you teaching me through this difficult thing? I want to glean. I want to get whatever I need to from this. But Lord, I got to tell you, I'm holding on for your resurrection. Maybe you're here this morning and physically you need his resurrection strength in your body. Maybe you're here this morning and relationally things are not as you would want them. Hang on to his resurrection life. The hope of his resurrection life. You're here financially, whatever you may be struggling with, whatever the cross is that you're carrying, God wastes nothing. God wastes nothing that we go through. But as we go through it, as we navigate our way through it, we grab his word, we grab his presence, we get ourselves where we need to be, orienting our hearts, and we say, Lord, teach me. But while you're teaching me, I want you to know, you have a pattern of bringing people back from places as though they were dead. And I want you to know that I'm holding on to resurrection. I'm believing that you will lift me out of my pit. I believe that you will make me not barren. I believe that you will allow the resurrection life of Jesus Christ to flood my life. And that my story will end with resurrection. Somebody say amen. Resurrection. 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 It's his promise to you. It's his promise to me. God values the cross. He does value the cross. There were some immense things that were purchased for you and I in the cross. But I'm here to tell you this morning, he values, he prefers, he favors resurrection. Stand with me if you would, please. I'd like to pray for us and then we're gonna close out. If you're here this morning and you just need some extra encouragement, you need a little pick-me-up, a little prayer pick-me-up, there'll be some of us filtering around here after the service if you would like prayer for something in your life. And I just want to say, I don't want to leave here today without at least putting it out there. I want to say, if there's anybody here this morning that you're not sure whether the resurrection life is in your heart and life, you don't know where you stand with Jesus, listen, please don't let this Easter Sunday pass without orienting your heart toward God the way it needs to be. If you need somebody to help you with that process, again, there'll be those of us up here hanging out. We'd love that opportunity to pray with you. Father, thank you that you are in the pattern. You have a pattern of bringing things out of a yucky place into resurrection. Thank you. Say thank you. Just tell them thank you. Thank you for bringing our lives out of decay in the pit and putting them, raising us up and giving us life again, Lord. Thank you for your resurrection pattern in your word, Lord. You've done it. You've done it in the past. You're doing it now, and you will do it again, Lord. And Lord, we're not some of those people that are just trying to hang on by our fingernails until we get to the bitter end and then embrace resurrection. We are people in faith believing that you are also dealing out resurrection life in these lives that we live, Lord. So I pray that if there be anybody here this morning that needs to know, I'm asking right now that you would use your divine megaphone to announce resurrection life to them. Do it in a way that they would see it and not be able to explain it away.
bring your resurrection life to bear. We believe that your resurrection wasn't the great finale. We believe that it was the first fruit of many resurrections. Lord, may that same Spirit that raised your Son from the dead quicken our lives, quicken even these bodies of ours, Lord, and that as we go out and we live our lives, Lord, that there would be a sense in the hearts of others around us, wait a minute, I see life there. I see life in that person. We're not walking around living our lives like we can't wait for them to end. We're living in such a way that your resurrection life is bleeding through us. Do it, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. May God give you an awesome rest of the Easter. May he fill your hearts full to overflowing with his Holy Spirit. We're going to sing this song. We've already sung it once, but we're going to sing this song, so to speak, on the way out the door this morning. Happy Easter.